So we turn this evening to Ephesians chapter 6. I don't know whatever possessed me to teach on spiritual warfare. My life has not been the same since I've been studying, and I have never had so many problems and tried to have so much warfare and such scattered thoughts as during this time. So it is amazing that the enemy does not want to be found out. But tonight, we're going to find him out, and we're going to do battle against him. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word and for the clarity of your word in our lives. And Father, that you can make us a strong warrior in you. And that, God, we are to be victorious and we are not to fear. That you have not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, Lord, open our hearts and our minds to the book of Ephesians. And, Lord, we will thank you and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, or your belt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Standing, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Tonight we'd like to take a look at verse 13 and 14 and like to look at what it means to gird your life with truth. It says here, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth. The book of Ephesians, as we mentioned before, has been looked upon by many as the Grand Canyon of the New Testament. It is probably the richest, deepest, most profound book in the New Testament. I know I'm going out on the limb here, but when you look at the book of Ephesians, it really centers your life in Jesus Christ. And it speaks really of three important areas, the heavenly calling of the church. In chapters 1 through 3, we are being called to a heavenly life, that we have been predestined, preordained by the foreknowledge of God, that we are made to be the praise and to the glory of God himself. And for the first three chapters, he begins to lay out everything that God has done for you, nothing that you can do for God. We were lost, but God, through his love, was rich in mercy, saved us. And by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And all the way through the book, it is dealing with the importance of really just what God has done in our life, the heavenly calling. But then in chapters 4 and 5, we mention that it begins to have a heavenly conduct. Not only am I called by God, but now I am called to have a conduct worthy of the Lord. And so when you stand in line and you get an attitude, it's not the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk worthy, therefore, of the vocation wherein that you have been called. And so we are to walk worthy within our marriage, within our single lives, within our family relationships, within our employee-employer relationship. We are to not lord over people, but we are to set the example and have a good conduct. And without the calling, the conduct will never be there. But Paul ends by mentioning in chapter 6, there is a heavenly conflict. So there is a calling upon your life. There is a conduct that God is looking forward to in your life. And there is a conflict that you are going to go through every day of your life. And I think when you look at the book of Ephesians, there is a interesting outgrowth of these. First of all, believer is spiritually wealthy in chapters 1 and 2. In other words, we receive Christ, and it is all that God wants to do. He wants to give you Christ. But in chapters 4 and 5, concerning the conduct, we begin to realize that it's Christ in the believer. And it's now God doing something deep within your heart. But then in chapter 6, we find that it is a position that God is looking, that Christ is now through your life. So in chapters 1 through 3, you are to receive Christ. In chapters 4 and 5, you are to walk in the Lord and let God operate through your life. But in chapter 6, you are to allow the Lord to work through your life in a very important and powerful way. And so he declares that we hear in verse 13, "Wherefore, taking unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day." The book of Joshua speaks of the very same thing, but in the Old Testament is much like the New Testament, the book of Ephesians. If you will turn with me over to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 4. They were about ready to enter into the land of Canaan. And Joshua there, chapter 1, verse 4, went on to declare in verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for the inheritance of the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them." Verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand nor from the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest." And verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth," underline that, "but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest." The battleground has been marked. You are to enter into a wonderful life with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be a life that is victorious. God has given to you and I the weapons that we need to be able to do warfare on a daily basis. And that we are not to be living in discouragement or being overwhelmed. And there are certain principles that Paul now is beginning to bring pictures to. And it is this soldier that is beginning to allow God to arm his life. When you read John Bunyan's book, you find that instantly you are in a war, a battle for your life, a conflict that will last for a lifetime. When you read C.S. Lewis or you watch the videos, Narnia, you realize the moment they go into the land, There you find them receiving a new set of clothing and the sword and the bow and arrow, because they are to do warfare within the land there with Aslan. And as it is with Paul the Apostle, as he was being saved, as God saved his life, Luke records in the book of Acts that he increased more with intensity within his own Christian walk, because the conflict became greater and more severe within his own relationship to the Lord and to the enemy there in the book of Ephesians, as he was ministering for 3 years. They came against him to the point that he had to leave. But the intensity of his life began to grow. And Luke in the book of Acts declares that he began to increase with more intensity because he was now going against the warfare of the enemy. And so Paul was one who understood the battle. He was one who understood the importance of the warfare. You remember, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So when the thoughts are coming into your mind, you are to allow the Holy Spirit to arrest those thoughts and bring them under the captivity of the power of the blood and under the power of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So that defines to me the operation of the Holy Spirit within my life. He wants to have full working ability within my life, my utmost for His highest, that I am to surrender my life to the working and the power of the Holy Spirit, that I am to allow God to help me to stand. I am to allow God to clothe me in a way that I really do understand. And it cracks me up that we are very ignorant in this area of clothing. If you would come around the house and you would see what I wear at my house, I wear what you probably wear when you do gardening. I have a pair of shorts and a t-shirt that has snail junk all over it, and grease and slime and dirt. But when I put this on, and I have a pair of socks that are dirty, and I have a pair of boots that are ready to stomp in the mud, man, I am ready to work in my garden. And I am purposed in my mind that we're going to plant, we're going to weed, we're going to water, I'm going to stand in the mud, I'm going to kill snails for the glory of God, and we're going to have a great time trimming bushes in Jesus' name. And you would come and my wife would have the same outfit on. No, yeah, oh yeah. Baggy pants, baggy shirt, there with her hair undone, but we are now called together to work in the garden. If you would look at Pastor Rob, sometimes on Saturday wearing those cute little pants as he rides the bike. I picture myself in those, but I just can't seem to see it. Streamline, up in the air, on his bike, ready to go to San Diego. His goofy little hat. Slim James, ready to fly down the freeway. Psyched up, beeper, telephone, ready, water. But he has purposed in his heart that when he places on those goofy pants, that he's not going to take his wife out on a date. And so the pants dictate what he's going to do. He's going on a bike ride. The clothing dictate to me that I'm going to work in the garden. When you gals go shopping, you wear certain clothing to go shopping. Oftentimes, things to get off quickly, so you can try on all types of clothing. You don't have to tell us, we just look at you and say, ah, they're going shopping. They got the layer look. So when they get hot, they can start taking things off. And so they have to bring things home. And they got a bag. And there's a whole thing. And their visa's right in front. And they have a whole nother purse for shopping. And you realize they are ready to do some business. When I'm going to do work around the church, and I have another type of clothing. I have a bandana because I need an attitude. I have my carpenter's bag, and I have my jeans that are baggy, extra, extra, extra large, so I can bend over and not feel encumbered or overwhelmed. And I'm ready to swing a hammer and drive some nails and show the authority and smite those things. And this look in my eyes, don't mess with me. Got the bandana on, I'm ready to do business. And when I come here, I got my Hawaiian shirt on, I'm ready to chill out and just have fun. And so when I say to you, as a Christian, you are to put on the armor of God, the first thing you need to understand is that there is a purpose and a criteria for putting this on. And you need to make that decision right now. If I was to dress in my snail-infested shirt and pants and go out to the mall, it would not be wise. So the clothes dictate what I'm going to do. I'm going to mow my yard. I'm going to go for a bike ride. I'm going to go shopping. Or on the NFL, I'm going to play football. Or in the basketball, I'm going to play basketball, whatever it might be. So when Paul now begins to elaborate on this clothing, he is saying in effect that when you place this on, you are ready to do battle against the enemy to whip him in the name of the Lord. That you're ready to KOKD. It's an old term I heard a long time ago. Keep on kicking the devil. You're willing to get involved. Willing to make a difference. Willing to do battle. And I think it's important that we understand that's why you are to be strong in the Lord. Because there is a strength that you need to make this commitment. And the commitment must come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is a strength that you need to place the armor on. Because it is a work of God that begins to work deep within your heart. And there is a character that is going to come forth. But when you allow the Lord to place the armor upon your life, when you take the full armor of God, then from that moment, for the rest of your life, you are willing to do battle. You are willing to fight the enemy. You are willing to allow God to do whatever He wants to do in your life. And you are to stand. And there are four different things concerning the importance of standing. There's one Hebrew word for standing that's kind of interesting. It kind of gives you the attitude of standing in a grocery line. Kind of just standing behind the cart. Just kind of, this is my territory. I'm cool, but don't you dare butt in. So it's a kind of a nonchalant standing, you know, I'm just kind of hanging in, standing in my line, going down this world, having a good time, and I hope you don't cut in front of me. There's another word in the Hebrew that is more like the kung fu, always on the alert. Always looking for the devil, looking for a fight, looking for an attitude, and you're kind of looking, you're on the alert. One is more just kind of cash, and now you're kind of, you know, you're abiding there at the grocery cart, just kind of drinking, nipping, kind of doing that stuff, and now the second is kind of, well, you know, I'm alert, and no one's gonna do nothing to me, and so you're tense and you're ready to do battle. And that's a good Hebrew word. There's a third Greek word that is kind of interesting. It means at ease. It means kind of like when you take a picture, you're, oh man, another picture. It's just kind of chilled out and at ease. And the last word in the Greek for the word stand means to, kind of interesting, means to be available. hand up, Lord, I'm willing to go, I'm available. That's the stand that God wants. And too many of us are kind of just hanging on the shopping cart, and, okay, this is go through life. Some of us are too ready to do battle with anything. Even if a leaf moves, I'm ready to attack it and kill it in the name of God. Some of us are kind of like just going through life, oh, I'm at church. Well, man, I hope the coffee's good tonight. And other of us are saying, Lord, I'm here, use me. So the stand is important. The clothing is important. And notice here, we get down to really the issue this evening, is that we are to stand in order to be able to put on the whole armor of God. And we are to place the armor in order that we might be able to wrestle the wiles of the devil. And we are to place the armor upon our life that we would be protective and protected from the storm that is coming in and through our life in a very powerful way. And so the Bible declares that we are to gird the loins of our lives. You know, it's interesting when you look at the word devil. If you look at it, D-E-V-I-L, if you just put a slash between the D and the E, it spells evil. If you separate the D and E, it spells evil. If you put the dash between the E and the V, it spells vile, V-I-L, and you can add the E. If you put the dash between the D-E-V, between the V and the I, it spells ill, or I-L, which means that he will make you ill. And then if you put the dash between the I and the L, well, it spells hell. And so the devil is seeking to destroy the work that God is doing within our life. But to gird the mind, to put on the armor of God. Paul now defines that I am to place the very first piece of armor upon my life. You would think maybe it would be the sword, or maybe it would be the chest being covered. But the very first piece of information he gives to us is the belt, that which is to gird everything else. On the Roman soldier, they would tie this belt around them, and from there they would hang and begin to clip the chest plate, and they would begin to hang the sword. The very first thing that God declares is that you are to have the truth of God's word deep in your life. Now, many have struggled with what in the world is this belt? What is this thing called girding the loins? Is it really the truth of God's word, or is it just being truthful within your life? And those that begin to have a problem with it declare that how could it be referring to the totality of the word when later on in verse 17 we read about the sword of the Spirit? Truly, that is the word of God. And that is correct. It is the word of God. But I believe deep within my own heart and through the studies of God's word that both answers are really right. There is a totality of the word which is from Genesis to Revelation, the very character and nature of our God. He is the essence of truth. He is truth. But then there is that attitude that truth begins to prevail within my life, and my life begins to become truthful. And you really can't have one without the other. There's no way that you can tell the truth unless you are in love with the truth. There's no way that you can fight for the truth unless you are willing to embrace the truth yourself. And I think that the very foundation that the soldier, the warrior, has is the word of God. You cannot really hang the sword, which I find interesting that Jesus said it is written, a sword that was able to go directly to the problem within our life, without him having a full knowledge of the word of God, for he was the word of life. And I find oftentimes we are trying to live a victorious life without having a love for the truth. Or we are trying to put on this righteousness, or trying to have these shoes of peace, and there's no truth within our life. First of all, you have to have the truth before you can have the armor. And there must be a commitment to a life of truth. And so he says, gird up the loins. Make your life a commitment to excellence within the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that would not be ashamed. And I believe that oftentimes we try to seek to rid our life of evil, and we spend our life looking at the failure. We spend our time trying to overcome the insecurity of our lives. We look at all the things we're doing wrong. We are dealing with so much failure and so much insecurity that we have failed to realize that was a trap of the enemy. Satan wants you to look at your failure. Satan wants you to evaluate your insecurity. Satan wants to draw attention to your lack of faith. And if he can do that, he can take your eyes off of the bigger picture, Jesus Christ. And one of the great, great areas of freedom within your life is to understand that you never, ever get out of the Word of God, no matter how bad it becomes in your life. That there is a stability, there is a devotional commitment, there is an excellence to this Word. Because you love Him, you want to know about Him. And you remember the story that I've shared with you before with Elijah. There, as he was about ready to eat the food that the prophets prepared, someone cried out, "There is death within the pot." And so they begin to pour it out. And Elijah cried out, "No, no, do not pour it out." And they said, "Well, if we don't pour it out, we're going to be poisoned." And Elijah said, "Add the corn." He said, "Add more corn." And they added more corn. And finally, Elijah said, "Now go ahead and eat, for the corn has overcome the evil." And the Word will overcome the evil. You will never be able to overcome the evil through your ability. It's too powerful. When you deal with the enemy, you are dealing with principalities. Do you understand what that means? It means the prince of the power of the air. The prince that hindered Michael the archangel. They are brilliant. They are master. They've been doing this for 6,000 years. They are cunning. They are crafty. They are powerful. But they are not omniscient. They have limited power. And the power is given to them only by God. And God will take it at any time. But they are powerful beings that I cannot overcome. And yet I try. I will overcome this. No, you won't. It is by the Word of God, by walking around Jericho with the Word of the Lord, by the presence of God, is this thing going to come down in your life. And yet we try to do battle in our flesh. The command of the Lord to Joshua was, "Take my ark, my presence, and walk around Jericho, and I will do the work. Bring my presence, my consciousness into this situation, and I will fight the battle. Pour my word into the problem, and I will solve the situation. I will turn the tables. I will vindicate. I will work in your life." But there needs to be an understanding of the importance of a life of truth. Peter declares that we are to gird the loins of our minds. You remember, Peter was standing there declaring that he was to gird the loins of his mind in 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, it tells me something about what it is to gird. Let me read it to you once again. In 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and have hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So Peter is declaring that he is a leaky vessel, that he has an untrained mind, that his mind sometimes can become slothful, that he wasn't listening to the Lord. When Jesus Christ was declaring to Peter that he was going to be tempted, he said to Jesus Christ, "No, you don't understand. I will never forsake you." Peter was not allowing the Holy Spirit to focus, to take a hold of his mind, his heart. And the battle is in your mind. The battle is going on in the mind. If my mind is double-minded, I become unstable in all my ways, and let not a man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. If my mind is focused on the things of God, then I will be bent towards that decision. And so there is a war after my mind. But I am to gird, I am to discipline, I am to focus, I am to employ everything concerning my mind that is not given over to the things of this world. We find also kind of interesting in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, "And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." And then in 2 Corinthians 10:4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of the stronghold." And so we see the importance of really what it is to be girded. Acts chapter 12, verse 8, "And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind up thy sandals. And so he did, and he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me," when Peter was being delivered from prison. You remember when Job was there being challenged by God, "Stand up and gird thyself as a man." Or you remember here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So they were instructed from the very beginning of time, and here is the issue tonight, to be ready. You are to be ready for anything that is coming down the pike. You remember it declares in Ephesians here in chapter 6 that there is a evil day coming, that we are to stand against the wiles of the devil, and we are to, having done all, stand, for the days are evil. Well, the word evil, there is a word that means that there is a day that is coming that is so evil that if you're not ready, you could fall. That is the message that Paul was trying to declare to the church of Ephesus. Now, many of us don't believe this. Many of us believe that just going to church is all we need to do. And that's great. But if there is a battle, and if there is a cunning one who is seeking my soul, and if he is seeking to turn my heart against God, and seeking to bring me down to the very pit of hell that he has been condemned to, then he will live his whole life, moment by moment, day by day, never being tired, never being exhausted, always looking, always waiting for that one moment where there's a weakness in my life, where I am unprepared, and that is the moment that you need to guard against. That moment when all of a sudden, in all of your lust, that woman comes across your path and you are being tempted like you have never, ever been tempted before. And if you are unprepared, you're in trouble. That moment when you need to make the right decision and tell the truth, and you've been not telling the truth, and the moment has come and you now need to declare the truth, and you are unprepared to tell the truth. Or maybe that moment you go to the doctors and he tells you, "Oh, I need to tell you, you have 6 months to live," and you are unprepared to die. In other words, life will throw you curves. And Paul was declaring that when you are girded in your mind and girded in your heart, and the word actually means to take your gown and you pick up your gown and tuck it inside your belt, that is what Paul was actually declaring. It is because you are now ready to run, or you are ready to fight, or you are ready to serve one another. So it is the attitude of readiness. It is the attitude of the opposite of laziness. It is not self-indulgence. It is not lethargy. It is absolute servanthood quality of my life. My life is girded with truth. I'm here to serve you. And Jesus girded himself and he washed the disciples' feet. And I think that oftentimes, because it's difficult for us to serve, simply is because we do not know what God wants or declares within his word. Because it's hard for me to give is because I do not understand the importance of God's word. Because it's hard for me to focus on the things of God, I have not girded my mind with the word of the Lord. And it is the word that God desires. So the very first attack in your whole life will be keeping you out of the word of God. And it's a tragic thing that 75% of the body of Christ is not studying the Bible. And it declares that one of the great problems we have in our society is lying. And if I am to speak the truth, then I am to understand the six things as God hates, seventh is an abomination to the Lord. Those that share a false witness or bring division within the body of Christ. Lying. So the question tonight is, it's interesting that Paul declares, as he was tied to that Roman soldier looking at the gown that he had on, that it was the first thing he lays out is the foundation of my whole life. Jesus said that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written that you should not bow down to anyone else but the Lord God. Get thee behind me, Satan. But there was a volume of the word within his life. There was a recall. There was the ability to be able to tuck it in and do service for the Lord. And when there's not that reservoir, when the word of God is not the preeminence within my life, when I seek to lean on my own understanding and not the things of God, when I no longer hold forth the word of life, but I now begin to hold forth my own wisdom, my own experience, when I no longer am dedicated to the commitment and willing to die for the thing that I love the very most, and so many had to die for the word of God. It was their very life. It was their very essence of life. If TV is more important than the word, if the newspaper is more important than the word, if the daily breeze or the stock market's more important than the word, if anything is more important than the word, you've already lost the battle. It's an amazing thing how many guys know every hockey player, but they can't quote the books in order. How many women know every shopping mall in Southern California, but cannot even understand who the disciples really are? How we know where every theater is and every phone number to those theaters, but we don't know what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. How we know where every Starbucks is located. I know that one. But we don't know how to find Malachi in the Old Testament. And it only proves that we really don't believe that we are in a war. If I was convinced that my life depended upon this knowledge, that I'm going to do battle, and the more that God uses me, the more intense the battle is going to become, I would allow the Lord to begin to go and to begin to prepare me against a day of unpreparedness in my life. You will never know. And I don't want to scare you, but very simply, you don't know when a loved one or someone is going to be taken away. You don't know when you're going to be attacked. You don't know what temptation is going to be laid in your lap. You don't know what is going to come down the road to catch you at a moment. And Jesus said you need to keep your light burning and keep your loins girded. You need to be ready for any obstacle in your life. You need to be ready that the light doesn't go out, that the servant's heart doesn't stop. You need to be ready that your mind is active, ready to preach and give an answer to every man. You need to be ready to do warfare against the enemy and realize he wants to deploy demonic destruction in your life. And when he comes, and when you are devastated, you can go to the Word because you have hid it within your heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against Thee. Thy Word did I find and I did eat, and it was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. He sent His Word and healed them. I delight to do Thy will, O Lord. I will meditate day and night upon Thy Word. Then will I have success. Then will I prosper. Be strong, be courageous, be victorious. Go into the land. And yet, the fallacy is, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to put on the armor. Well, always remember that if you stay on this side of Canaan or this side of Canaan, it's still a war. When Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben were talking to Moses, they said, Moses, we don't want to go into the promised land. Moses said, you need to go in. No, we don't want to go in. We want to raise our cattle out here. And you remember the story, fine, as long as you go in and fight with your brethren, when all the war is done, you can come back and live outside the promised land. But they got used to living outside of the promised land. They saw the glory of God. They saw the Shekinah glory. They saw the miracles of God. You remember it was the manna that God provided for them in the wilderness. And it's possible to see the glory of God in the wilderness of your life and get used to the wilderness and never have a heart to get out of the wilderness because you have seen God. And they saw the manna. And they saw the Shekinah glory. And they saw the fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. And they watched their shoes never wear out. But they also watched each other die. And they buried each other. And it's an amazing thing that oftentimes within the wilderness of our lives we are content and complacent to stay here because we don't want to go into the battle. And so we beg the Lord, Lord, I'm content here. I don't want to be stretched. I don't want no more wars in my life. No more hospitals. Nothing, Lord. This is where I want to stay. And I just want to raise a family and be left alone. And now, wait a second. People are dying. And yes, they went into the land. And they fully surrendered to the things of the Lord. And God opened areas like Gilgal. He removed the reproach and He opened the Jordan. And He brought great victory in Jericho and great defeat in Ai because they didn't trust the Lord. And Achan was smitten and killed, and all kinds of things happened, and kings were killed, and the deeper they went in, the more war became, but the more victory, and finally we find Joshua standing on five heads of the kings. But you need to remember that these Gadareans and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh, that they were raising cows on the other side, and later on the Gadareans and Matthew, they were raising pigs, and they were the first ones taken out. And so I'm just here to tell you that it's a war. And if you choose to stay where you are, it's going to be a war. And the Bible declares, for the way of the transgressor is hard, and the way of rebellion is difficult, and God is going to fight against you to bring you to a saving knowledge of His love and His grace. And you are not fighting against yourself or your own wishes. You are fighting against the will of God. And Paul was kicking against a prick. And that word prick means that it was a nail that stuck out of the back of a cart. So when the donkey would kick, it would prick him. And the donkey would lose this war because it was metal against flesh. And God is saying, you are kicking against me, Paul, and you're going to lose because I'm the one who made you. I'm tired of this. Paul, you're blind. You're off this horse. You're done. And God might just come to us and say, I'm tired. You're done. I'm not going to strive with you no more. I have strove with you for years and years and years, and you keep hassling me and striving and making promises. You don't want to go into the promised land. Fine. Stay here. Live a defeated life. Live under the opposition of the enemy. Miss the blessings of God, all because you were unwilling to go in and find out what God would have for you. But I just want you to know you're going to be taken out first. And I'd rather be in the will of God in battle than outside of the will of God in carnality than any time in my life. You see, they didn't gird their minds and go into the promised land. They didn't gird the word upon their life, the promises of the Lord, and so they didn't go into the promised land. They didn't have their lives girded ready to fight with the Passover and go into that new area. They were just willing to be kind of lazy, kind of loose, and they absolutely came undone. Well, tonight, the first piece of armor, the most important, is your devotional life with the Lord. If Satan has you out of the Word, he has already destroyed you. He has already defeated you. Well, Steve, I'm in ministry. You're already backslidden. You're already going down the tubes. Your life has already fallen apart. Well, how can you say that? Because the manna could not be gathered except once a day, and you could not go back and get it a second day. It has to be a fresh revelation daily in your life. Yesterday's strength will not make it for today. Yes, it will. No, it won't. It is a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ every day. Why? Because you never know when you're going to be attacked. You need to be prepared. That means every day you need to be in the Word. And the day you're not is the day He's going to blast you. It's your choice. You can take God at His Word, who's trying to spare your life, or you can listen to the enemy that you don't need this Bible. You can change your priorities and gird your minds and gird your hearts. Tuck everything in and be ready to run, be ready to serve, be ready for battle. Or not. But whatever you do, understand this. That when you put the clothing on, you know what you're going to do. And many times, we don't want to put this clothing on because we know it means a commitment for life. For there are many called, but few are chosen. God is looking for disciples willing to do warfare in these last days. Father, we thank You.